of the six Sundarbans. And today is an opening class, so we all take mercy from Shri Jiva Goswami so that we could complete the entire six Sundarbans, including this module 2, by the grace of six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanatimirandas Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadatikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shuddha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadavaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamcha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Vipa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nidhol Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now we offer our prayers to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and six Goswamis of Vrindavan, including Sri Jiva Goswami. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaur Vishe Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other incarnations, including Shri Krishna, because he is bestowing freely what no other avatars has ever given, and that is Krishna Prema. Krishna Varanam Visha Krishnam Sangapanga Astapashalam Yaknahi Sankirtana Prayair Yajanti Sumedasa. In the age of the intelligent persons perform congregation chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not black, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons and confidential companions. Now offering prayers to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. As you can just see that Shri Jiva Goswami's Samadhi picture is right there. But invoking his prayers, we seek his mercy so that we could complete his course without any kind of obstacles. Nana Sastra Vicharanaika Nipunau Shad Dharma Samsthapakau Loka Nama Hitakarinau Tribhuvane Manyau Sharanyakarau Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Anandena Magdalikau Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyugau Shri Jiva Gopalakau. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances to the six Goswami, namely Shisnathan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Sri Raghunath Goswami, Sri Jeeva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizing and studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the food of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendent loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Janana-salakaya chakshin-vritantena tasmai shri-guruve-namah shri-chaitya-kham-vistam-sthapitam-yena-bhutale swayam-dhubha-kadavalyam-yadati-svartam. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya narom chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat nasht prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtake. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, please accept this whole question. Let me just turn on the camera. Identified in Majid Chut Shipa with Sundarban. So with that kind of brief, what we are going to do, we will begin that. So first of all, we will acknowledge, that's the next PowerPoint. So here I want to read out. First and foremost, I would like to thank, and we are really indebted to Nirman Trust Foundation, who is our sponsor. President is Dr. Shrove, Chandrakant Shrove, whose generous gift, the grant, the education grant, $7,500 for the duration, 3 years duration of the entire six Sandarbhas. We are able to do that. Without that, it would have not been possible. We also thank the president of the ISKCON Baltimore Temple, His Grace Neela Madhav Prabhu, because we are conducting this course under the banner of ISKCON Baltimore. We also like to thank ISKCON Desire Tree website, because they have offered us, they will allow us to upload the audio as well as video transcripts of these classes at no cost to us. So that is really very, very generous offer they made. And I'm very, very grateful to them. And then last but not least, I would like to also express my gratitude for the very hard work that they have been doing. It's my organization team members, led by Sanjeev Prabhu, Sanjeev Keshwani, and his teammates are Krishna Chakra Prabhu, then Prabhu is switching. Tonight is showing the PowerPoints here. Then Shuddha Bhakti Mataji, I'm not sure she's doing today, maybe. And then Gokula Priya Mataji, who is so painstakingly summarizing the highlights of each of my class and then uploading on our website. She's also assisting me in preparing these classes in Sundarbans. She's one of the group that helped me. And also Koshi Charana Prabhu, who is recording the audio recording of these classes and then uploading on our site. And of course Gopi and Acharya Prabhu, and also Sri Jashmin Dauda Prabhu, for their help and their assistance. Without their help, their assistance, there is no way I could undertake such a gigantic task. This is conducting Sandarbhas is really incredible task, believe me. Lots and lots of work involved, and also technical expertise and so on like that. Thank you. So now let's move on then. So next one is the conclusive highlights of the Sandarbha. We already reviewed the whole session we spent on that. So first and foremost, we should remember that the pramanas of the Sandarbha, Pramana Khanda and Pramey Khanda. Pramana Khanda is the means by which we can understand, we can realize the supreme truth, the absolute truth, the ultimate reality, Bhagavan Shri Krishna. And that is through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Sri Jiva Goswami has proved in his first part, that is indeed the Apavishesh Shabda Pramana. That is the means by which we can understand, we can really realize the Supreme understanding of God and Shri Krishna. But another really even more important point about Srimad Bhagavatam, that is not just merely a book that contains the vital, the valid knowledge of the absolute truth or the ultimate reality, but it actually qualifies the reader and the hearer that means we are us. You know? So directly it's a self-revealing Bhagavatam. Directly perceives reality, directly perceives Bhagavan Shri Krishna. And it is indeed non-different from him. And this particular conviction was actually experienced, actually visualized by Srila Vyasadeva in his supercognitive samadhi, as we saw in Tathasandharva. And Srila Jiva Goswami actually proclaims, even Vyasadeva actually declares that in his Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning, first canto, first chapter, second verse, Dharma Projahito Kaitava Dharma, that particular verse. And then 1344, Krishna Swadhama Upagate Dharma Jnana Adibis Kalau Drashta Kalau Nashta Drasham Esa Puranarko Adnodita. When Sri Krishna left for his planet, for his Guru of Devan Dham, so he left his planet. So at the same time, along with him, even the religious principles, Dharma Jnana, and all the knowledge about that, that also went away, you know, with him. So the sages of Naibhisharanya were wondering, who is going to provide us in this dark age of Kali Yuga, that's the age of hypocrisy and quarrel, who is going to provide us the directions, provide us the directions, the guidance on the religious principles, you know. So that's why Srila Sukhda Goswami replies that Kalau Rashta Etu Rashta Es Dasha. That means in this Kali Yuga, the dense darkness of Kali Yuga, that is going to be illuminated by the sun, Purana Arko. Purana means this Srimad Bhagavatam. Earth means this sun. So this Srimad Bhagavatam itself, as its equivalent to Shri Krishna himself, that is going to provide us directly self-revealing way the religious principles and about Shri Krishna himself. That's not different from Krishna. That is the literary incarnation of Krishna. So that is the highlight of the first part of the Sandarbha Pramana Khanda. In the second part, Prameya Khanda, what is Prameya? Prameya means the object of knowledge. So using these Srimad Bhagavatam statements, we really then understand the valid statements about Shri Krishna. That is the Pramana Khanda. Prameya Khanda. Alright. So now we move on to the next PowerPoint. And that is the why do we study the six sandarbhas? That is the very question that we answered when we began module 1, Tattva Sandarbha. And that is that again comes to the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam, because the author, Srila Vyasadeva, so laboriously wrote for the such serious students, devotees who truly aspire to attain pure love of Krishna, Krishna Prema. That is our ultimate objective of human form of life. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the way to go there. So that is the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. And how do we understand Srimad Bhagavatam? How do we realize the essential message of Srimad Bhagavatam? And that is the reason why Srila Jiva Goswami compiled this six sandarbhas for us to understand, Srimad Bhagavatam. So he begins six sandarbhas by establishing that the absolute truth is a non-dual supreme consciousness, Advaita Jnana, one without the second. Jnana here means the consciousness, the supreme consciousness. And we covered at length, of course, and we are going to now spend this second module further elaboration of this verse. Actually, this is really the backbone of the entire Bhagavad Sandarbha that we are going to be discussing. We're going to be hearing from Srila Jiva Goswami. That is the verse, and it is from Srimad Bhagavatam, culture and text level. The famous was Brahma Yeti, Paramatma Yeti, Bhagavan Yeti, Shabda Yeti. Okay, so the next PowerPoint. So that is the, now, as I told you, this is what the Anubandha Chatushtaya, the very purpose of it is to, for you now, for you, the participants, what do you expect to get out of by attending this module 2 and then onwards, you know. The Vedic scriptures tells, guides, there are four essential principles or the four prerequisites that any author who embarks on writing a book like here, Shri Jiva Goswami, when he began writing the six sandarbhas, so he also does the same thing. At the very beginning of writing the book, he elaborates on those four points. You know. Then, you know, so that way the reader knows that the first and foremost, so with the Anubandha means it connects these four prerequisites, puts together. So, and that we already discussed at length in Tattva Sandarbha also. So here now module 2, you know, for specifically for that, there is the criteria. So first and foremost, the author must list what is the qualification of a reader of that book, or Shri Jiva Goswami writes the sandarbhas. The same way, I'm also making an attempt to tell you by attending this course, what do you expect? So first, just like Shri Jiva Goswami state the eligibility criteria, that a reader of his books, Satsik Sandarbhas, must be a devotee of Lord Shri Krishna, must worship the lotus feet of Shri Krishna. You know? So here, what I am saying, what I am hoping is for this one, you know, that all of you, please be regular in attendance, without regularity to ongo, because as you see, six sandarbhas are very, very difficult to understand. If you don't pay attention, if you miss classes, that's very difficult. In fact, right in the brochure I announced that a minimum of 70% attendance is required, because we are offering this course completely free of cost to all of you, while we pay FT fees to cover this video teleconference fees to our website. And fortunately, only in part is covered by this Nirvana Foundation grant, but it doesn't cover 100%. So among our teammates, we actually share this cost ourselves. So in exchange, we humbly request at least you maintain a 70% attendance record. And this is very important actually, because remember in Tattva Sandarbha, at the very beginning of course, 125 participants were registered. But by the time we got into, by the midway of the course, third or fourth week, only about 25 to 30 of you really remained. So that means, a big chunk of a lot of you, they dropped out. And the difficult, saddest part of that, those who dropped out, they didn't even bother to let us know. So they were occupying the slot unnecessarily. So we couldn't give those slots to more deserving devotees who wanted to attend this class, and we couldn't because we were already full, you know. So that's the reason why when we I requested all of you, when we begin today onwards module 2, you have to re-register. To really, that's the only way we could identify those who have been dropped out, and many of you did that. So now we have the number is approximately 45. So I hope most of you are indeed really committed to go all the way and complete by the grace of Srila Jiva Goswami that we are praying. So now the dropout rate. damage considerably below, you know. There are some reasons always that occurs when you need to be absent for classes for a few weeks, you know. So if you just let us know, you know, then we understand that, you know, and we'll try to accommodate you. So the next PowerPoint now. So that is the first criteria. Jiva Goswami says that for reading his sandarbhas, a reader must be a devotee of the Lord. What I require, we require that you please show your sincerity by attending regularly, you know, at least minimum of 70% attendance required. So the second point in this Anubandha Chatushtaya, here, Srila, the point what is required, what is the relationship of your book with the subject matter of the book. So Jiva Goswami answers, his book is of course six sandarbhas, and the subject is the absolute truth, the ultimate reality, Lord Shri Krishna, Bhagavan Shri Krishna. So what is the relationship? So that's where he says, it is through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam he is going to connect, he is going to show the relationship between the six sandarbhas and Shri Krishna through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. So how do I make connection here? So I am making connection because Jiva Goswami said medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. So offering this course on this six sandarbhas, we are making an attempt to make you understand what is the central message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So then through the medium of these courses, you also get to begin to see the relationship between the sandarbhas and the subject matter of the sandarbhas, Lord Shri Krishna. You know? So that is the about sambandha. As you see in this PowerPoint, as we learned from Srimad Bhagavatam, sandarbha, module 1, the essential message of Srimad Bhagavatam is the absolute truth or the ultimate reality. What is the nature of that? Is this Advaya Supreme Consciousness? There is one without second, you know, Advaya. Okay? So, Jnanam Advayam. So, the ultimate truth, as we are going to learn in much, much greater detail, beginning with Bhagavad Sandarbha, is module 2, is that it is, it manifests in three aspects, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. You know, that's the second line of that famous verse, you know. Vadati tar tattva vidas tattvam yat dhyanam advayam brahmati paramatma yati bhagavan yati shabda yati. So that is the one. Now in fact we'll give an overview of that. At that time I'll give you a little bit better idea of that. We already discussed in principle in tattva sandarbha. So the third essential point, that is the process, the anu avideya. What process Srila Jiva Goswami recommends to realize the relationship between the sandarbhas and the subject Shri Krishna through the medium Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the process? So there he mentions this avideya. The process he recommends is devotional service, unalloyed devotional service. What I am making process here, that we hope to accomplish this understanding of this relationship between the subject, Bhagavan Shri Krishna, and Srila Jiva Goswami's Bhagavad Sandarbha book by the interest or means of our sincere study. See, that is the reason why I am emphasizing why you need to establish your sincerity by demonstrating your regularity that reflects how sincere you are. And then interactive participation in these courses. So that is the process by which we are going to realize this relationship, and that is avideya. Now the fourth, the last but the least most important element of this Anubandha Chatushtaya is, what is the prayojana? What is the ultimate goal? Shivajosh Goswami mentioned his ultimate goal in writing this sandarbhas was to develop Krishna Prema, you know, open this module too. So what is our goal? My goal based on behalf of my team, we are mentioning here our goal, our expected goal is that all of you together we cultivate this intense eagerness all of you, intense eagerness we develop by which we can continue moving forward with great vigor and enthusiasm, you know, to complete studying all the six sandarbhas. So that means it's intense eagerness. And the word is called laulyam. Actually, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions that, you know, in the popular samtis, the English translation by Srila Prabhupada is the Nectar of Devotion. So laulyam, laulyam literally means greediness. Now, of course, on the material platform, greediness is not a very desirable trait, desirable quality, right? In fact, this greediness is one of the six vices that is the as a result of the lower modes of material nature, kama, krodha, lobha. So lobha is this greediness, madha, moha, matsara. So that is actually should not be there on a material platform, but here on a devotional platform, on the spiritual platform, it is actually a desirable trait, because here greediness is actually translated as intense eagerness to serve the Lord actually and his devotees. So here with intense eagerness we study the six sandarbhas by which we understand the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam, and through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam we realize the relationship between the sandarbhas and Shri Krishna, and that's our ultimate goal, Krishna Prema, that we can develop, you know. So all boils down to this, that we need to develop you know, intense eagerness, and that is why Krishna Rupa Goswami says that in his instructions, you know, that you know, utsaha nishchayat dhairyat tat tat karma pravartan, that means utsaha with great enthusiasm, nishchaya with great determination, utsaha nishchayat dhairya with little patience, you know, and tat tat karma pravartan, that means in following the footsteps of our acharyas, you know. So that's how we do. So our acharya here is Srila Jiva Goswami, so we follow his station. So all the things which I just told you, I put it in a, to better understanding, in a tabular form. The four essential elements of Anubandha Chatushtaya to inspire interest. So this is the purpose of the interest in the minds of all of you actually. So you all up front, you realize, you know what to expect in participating to this course. So first, so there are three columns that you see here. What are those first essential elements that is recommended in our Vedic scriptures, you know, and how should the Jiva Goswami handles those four elements that we just saw, that I'm just summarizing here, and how I have attempted to list these four elements in my own way by having you attend this course, you know. So first criteria again is the criteria of eligibility in studying this book that Jiva Goswami says. When you write, so in my case, it is the attending the course, you know. So Jiva Goswami said that in order for you to read his books, you must be a devotee of Shri Krishna, a pure devotee of Shri Krishna. You know? In fact, he even says that if you don't do that, he says that there's a curse there. Now, of course, such great souls never curse anybody, you know. But this is to emphasize this eligibility, that's what he's saying. And here, I'm emphasizing here that you must demonstrate devotional sincerity by posting a minimum of 70% attendance record. So I hope you understand, and I hope I'm not overtaxing you, overburdening you. But this is with, you know, we need to demonstrate our sincerity because we are studying this sandarbhas, which itself explains the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. We need to demonstrate our sincerity in hearing about Krishna actually. Okay, the second element, the Vedic scripture says that you should show what is the relationship between the book that you write or the course that you offer and the subject matter. Yes, subject matter, of course, that is Krishna here, and that is the relationship. Srila Jiva Goswami connects that relationship through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, that he connects the subject Krishna and his book, the Sandarbhas. You know. Now, how do I list this component of Chatushtaya, Anubandha Chatushtaya? That here, Jiva Goswami said the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So, it is very important we understand the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that, in order to understand, again, so through the medium of a course, that we are going to attempt to do that. You know, I'm having my heart preparing for this course actually, to as much as possible, with due clarity, I'm trying my best to make you understand, to see how through the medium of these courses we realize the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam, through which in turn we understand the relationship between Krishna and Sri Jiva Goswami Sandarbhas. You know. I hope you clearly see how I'm trying to lead you, all of you, together. The third component is the subject to be known through the process. What is the process? All this thing that you're proposing, you know. Abhideya, Srila Jiva Goswami mentioned this process is devotional service, unalloyed devotional service. Our process is by sincerity and regularity and interactive participation with great determination that we move forward. You know. This process is also very, very important. So that is indeed the part of devotional service. Devotional service has these four pillars actually: punctuality, purity, regularity, and determination. These are the four essential pillars on which this rests. Just as the grammatical platform, tapa, saucham, daya, saucham, tapa, saucham, daya, satyam. These are the four pillars of grammatical platform. Okay, the fourth and the final component. What is the goal of purpose, prayojana? You know, Sri Jiva Goswami says it's Krishna Prema. What I'm trying to tell you is that our goal is to complete these sandarbhas, full six sandarbhas. That is our goal. And through which we cultivate the intense eagerness, lauliam, with great vigor and enthusiasm to propel ourselves moving forward all the way. You know? So we intensify our love of Krishna, you know, that is the ultimate goal actually. You know. So this is what I'm investing considerable time of this class to make you understand four elements of Chatushtaya. Unless we understand that, it will be very difficult to move forward. You know. Okay, now moving forward now. So now we will go through the overview of the entire course so that you realize what we are getting into that. So that is the PowerPoint number 9, please. The overview. So what I've identified looking at the entire book, the sevenfold thematic essence of Shri Bhagavad Sandarbha. Now you might ask what book I recommend, of course. No? Now, available, that is really recommended for this Sandarbhas. There's only one book that is by ISKCON that recommends, and that's actually not a commentary, it's just a translation by His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj. You know, what he did, he translated the Swami's this Sandarbhas, all the six Sandarbhas. And also he provided the commentaries, very, very brief commentaries of Baladev Vidya Bhushan and so on like that. Very, very brief, and including even Sri Jiva Goswami's commentary, Sarva Samvadini, Samvadini. But again, it's very brief. So the book that I am following primarily is by Sri Satyanarayana Prabhu. Very, very scholarly written. but it's English is so complex, so difficult. Very difficult. If you try to study yourself that book, it'd be difficult. So I would really recommend, please go listen to my classes, lectures, audio transcripts, and then also the PowerPoints that I prepared. I spent considerable my time and great efforts I put in to prepare my PowerPoints. So that's all you need to really go through that essentially. So you don't need to really study the book itself. It's so complex, you know. So let's go through. So what I've done, I looked at the entire Sri Bhagavad Sandarbha, and what I've identified, the seven themes, because our course is thematic essence based course, the biggest course that I've been offering. It's the very delicate balance, not to give it too many details, at the same time, don't give just a superficial view of this thing. So I don't come a delicate balance, because if I go too much details, then many of you will drop out. Anyway, so my dropout rate is more than 50%, 50 to 70%. So I'm trying to minimize that, and that is acutely in my consciousness, trying to keep you all together. But at the same time, I also have a responsibility to give you the gist, the essence of the topics that I'm talking to you, a minimal level of that. Then also, very delicate balance I'm trying to give you that, you know. So, and then towards the end, I will talk to you about the request I made when I completed the first Sandarbha. I requested all of you to give me a feedback. So, in fact, Gopi Prabhu had prepared an electronic feedback form. Some of you did that, 17 of you did send me, and I will discuss that. By and large, here 94% of you gave a very, very positive response. So that is, I'm very, very pleased, and I'm very, very grateful to all of you. A significant of you mentioned that you wanted some form of kind of evaluation, a test, right? Now that I mentioned quite a few times during the Tattva Sandarbha course. At that time, most of you, in fact, were saying that, no, you didn't want that, including some of my teammates. They didn't want either, you know. So I had a real difficult time, so I restrained myself. But now I see in your feedback, it looks like many of you seem to have a change of heart. You do want some kind of, so it is on a completely on a voluntary basis, so you can self-assess for the sole purpose to determine, to assess whether you understood the topics, the concept or not, you know. So I'll try my best to come up with some kind of quizzes, you know, that I'll offer time to time. And you can solve by yourself. I'll provide the answers after a week or two. Then you can compare that. So it is again totally on a voluntary basis. But I am very glad that you recognize the importance of assessment, self-assessment. Okay, what are the seven themes? The first theme is this, the absolute truth that manifests in three aspects, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So that is, in fact, we'll see, there is no real difference between the three levels of realization, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So absolute truth is indivisible. It cannot be divided into three aspects. But the same absolute truth is seen from a three different angle of vision. So it is the person, his own perception, that determines what qualifies to see the Brahman realization, Paramatma realization or Bhagavan realization. It turns out Bhagavan realization is the complete realization, you know. Whereas Brahman, Paramatma, they are partial realization. And I will just elaborate in a few moments. But before that, let's get an overview of the seven themes of this entire module 2. So everything what we are going to learn about entire Bhagavad Sandarbha, what is Bhagavad Sandarbha? Bhagavad Sandarbha is all about Bhagavan Shri Krishna. Now here, Jiva Goswami does not even identify openly that Bhagavan is Sri Krishna. All he is saying that absolute truth, Satya, Param Satyam, or the ultimate reality, the absolute truth, is indeed Bhagavan. He's talking all about Bhagavan. So what are the Bhagavan's potencies, the energies? That is the second theme. And a considerable number of anuchedas, the text, Jiva Goswami invested to explain for us. So broadly there are three classes. There is the Antaranga Shakti, or intrinsic potency, and Bahiranga Shakti, it's extrinsic potency, and there is an intermediary, a Tatastha Shakti. Tatastha Shakti is we, the living entities. External, that is Maya, the illusory potency. Internal potency, that is the devotional service, personified by Srimati Radharani. So again, that also we will discuss at length. The third theme is about Bhagavan's body and expansions. Now, unlike ourselves, our body, as we know, is material. That means there is always a beginning and end, and it's ever-going changes all the time. And ultimately, it perishes, we die. But Bhagavan's body and Bhagavan himself, the soul, there is no difference. Our spirit soul is unchanging, eternal, just like Bhagavan. He is not like that. In Bhagavan's case, his body and soul is exactly identical. There is no difference. All spiritual, all completely spiritual, without any tinge of materialistic things. So that's a big difference. So he is transcendental, like us, and unlimited, and unlimited, both within and without the universe, unlimited forms. What is expansions, we will go again at great length, many chapters there, many texts are there, equivalent Paramatma expansions also there, which is the all-pervading expansion, Paramatma, the super soul is situated in the hearts of all the living entities, also in every atom of the universe. Paramatma is everywhere. In fact, Paramatma is the potency by which the material manifestation takes place. And we, the Jivatmas, individual souls, are in fact the part and parcel of Paramatma. Paramatma is always resides with us. So though Lord is invisible, but he makes himself visible to his devotees by his great mercy, and his names, forms, actions, attributes are all transcendental. Krishna's body is transcendental and most beautiful. In fact, he is the ultimate source of all the beauty in the universe. Everything comes from within him. And so are his partial expansions. They are also exquisitely beautiful. Shabda Brahman, and so are his ornaments, weapons, everything belongs to his Swarupa Shakti. They are personified. That's incredible. So there is no difference between his names, his ornaments, his weapons, and then from him. They are all same. Okay.
Could we touch that?
Right. Moving on. But Bhagavan's Dhamma, Vaikuntha Dhamma, then Golokita Dhamma also. So no one falls. The overriding theme, the overriding understanding of this particular theme is that once we achieve, once someone attains Vaikuntha Dhamma, Lord's Dhamma, then he never falls. With so-called fall downs that we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam about the doorkeeper's Jaya and Vijaya, because the curse by the four Kumaras is really an accidental fall down. It all happened by the Lord's own arrangement. That Srimad Bhagavatam discusses in great detail. So here we are going to learn about all that also. souls.
Oh,
and Bhagavan Dhamma, just like Bhagavan himself, it's Sat Chit Ananda, eternally knowledge and bliss. And the Dhruvaloka, remember Dhruvaloka is it's a material, but that part is also transcendental. And then fifth theme, Bhagavan means Bhagavan includes all his associates, so eternal associates, coming all the way from Goda Vrindavan Dham. So whenever Bhagavan descends in the material world, they also come along with him. Not because of the karmic bondage that we come here, completely different. They just come to assist in Lord's pastimes. So like him, they are also transcendental, and they aspire to be in the company of the Lord's associate, everyone. And they are the manifestation of the direct Lord's Swarupa Shakti. Sixth theme. Bhagavan is the most complete manifestation of Brahma. So, Bhagavan manifestation supersedes Bhagavan realization. The clearest example that we saw, Sukadeva Goswami, that we heard, we saw in Tattva Sandarbha, that Sukadeva Goswami was completely, even while he was still in the womb of his mother, and was completely happy, he didn't do anything at all, nothing at all. And yet, when he just heard few select verses by the arrangement of Srila Vyasadeva, his father, he was immediately attracted to Bhagavan, Shri Krishna. So obviously, Bhagavan realization is superior to even Brahman realization. So, in fact, that's the reason even Krishna himself tells Uddhava, Uddhava Gita, that Uddhava also, from the beginning, was like that actually. And Brahman realization, he thought Brahman is great, but here Krishna, he was on a Jnana level actually. And Lord Krishna actually tells him, asks him to transcend that Brahma Jnana level, and come to this Bhagavan relation, to the Krishna Prema level. That's one of the reasons, in order for him to learn, he sends in the pretext of delivering his message to the gopis. The gopis of Vrindavan, he found out that the Brahman religion is inferior to the Bhagavan religion. So actually this Brahman is indeed, it's the impersonal effulgence of Sri Krishna's body, Brahma Jyoti. So last theme is the conclusion of the entire Bhagavad Sandarbha, and that's where Jiva Goswami connects this Chatushtaki Bhagavatam, the four seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is indeed, he shows that is Bhagavan. There's no difference with this. So that is the Bhagavatam itself is not different from Krishna, and Bhagavatam is actually expanded these four seed verses. So obviously the four seed verses and Bhagavan Shri Krishna is not different. So that is a sound revelation, sound vibration of Shri Bhagavan. And the Lord's energies, including Lakshmi Devi, they are not impersonal. They are personified. Including Maya Devi. Maya Devi is Durga Devi. So same thing, both say, here Lakshmi Devi is also Lord Vishnu's consort, eternal consort. So, and finally, what's the process? So Bhagavan can be realized only through unalloyed devotional service. So that is the really, this within these seven themes, the entire Bhagavad Sandarbha is really expands, so we will go this using this thematic essence-based approach that I have been doing right from the very beginning. The entire Srimad Bhagavatam also I did by this thematic essence-based. That is the way, that's how the courses are evolved actually by my experience. All people are like that. So now we have another 30 minutes before we break for discussion. So let's
the central theme of the entire Bhagavad Sandarbha is based on this one single verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. This one to one. Chapter 1, chapter 2, text 11. That is what is Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas. Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas. Tattvam Yat Brahma Jnanam Vayam. Tattvam Yat Brahma Jnanam Advayam. Brahma Yeti, Paramatma Yeti, Bhagavan Yeti, Shabda Yeti. So look at the verses right here actually. Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas. So Vadanti, they are saying, who are saying? Those Tattvavidas, those who are knowers of the truth, they are saying, what they are saying, the Tattvam, that ultimate truth is actually the Jnanam Advayam, that Jnanam here, the consciousness, that is the supreme consciousness, that which is Advayam, that one without second, you know, and that is the one which is named in three parts, three aspects of it, the manifestation. Aspects, Brahma, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So those are the absolute truth as non-dual consciousness, naming it as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Srila Jiva Goswami's purpose in writing Sandarbha is to establish Bhagavan. And that is the consistent trans-empirical form. Empirical world is this material world. Trans is transcend. So world's form has no, not a single, even a tinge of materialism in that. And he possesses this inconceivable qualities. You know, as I just told you, broadly speaking, there are three classes: antaranga shakti, internal potency, swarupa shakti. Then external potency, bahiranga shakti. That's Krishna's Maya. And the third one, that is the Tatastha Shakti, the intermediary potency, and that is we, the living entities. So Bhagavan manifested is the supreme, with superior given Brahman. So although the absolute is one and indivisible, its perception, its realization in three different aspects, this Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan relation. So, the very nice way of explaining this thing is using an analogy actually, next PowerPoint, is this blue lotus, you know, blue lotus. Now, that phrase is described by the lotus, right? Next PowerPoint. So, here attempting to give you a broad overview of these three aspects of the absolute truth: the realization, Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, and Bhagavan realization. So, Brahman realization is the realization of the absolute truth without perceiving the distinction between the energies and energetic. So, when truth without realizing. What are his potencies? Who is the possessor of this potency? Then that is called Brahman realization. Paramatma relation, you begin to go deeper into realization. So you begin to realize Bhagavan's potency also. But that is limited to Bhagavan's external potency in this material manifestation. So the role of Paramatma, the role of Super Soul, is purely for the cosmic manifestation. The living entities are part and parcel of that actually. So it's a realization of potency, but only partial. Whereas Bhagavan realization is not only the realization of his external potency and the intermediary, but also the internal potency. And that is indeed the highlight of it actually. Only through Bhagavan realization we realize the Bhagavan Swarupa Shakti, internal potency. Not Brahman realization, not Paramatma realization. Allows us to perceive that. So these three realizations, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, there is no difference between three. All three actually showing the same entity, but from a three different perspectives. So there is difference in that regard only. From the angle of vision that a viewer sees that. So seer's own limitation, his own limitation of his own angle of vision, that sees. So some are limited only through seeing only Brahman aspect of the Supreme. Some yogis, gyanis, they see only Brahman realization. Yogis, they able to see the super soul realization, the Paramatma, in their heart. Whereas devotees, by their unalloyed devotional service, they are able to realize Lord's internal potency, Swarupa Shakti, only through devotional service. So that is the fundamental difference between, you know. So that I was just telling you, there's a very nice analogy that gives actually Shri Satyanarayana Prabhu. And I liked it very much, that analogy, you know. That essentially it's right at home actually. So that is this blue lotus, you know, that phrase. So the noun here is lotus, of course, yeah. But the adjective that is given, further elaboration of the noun is blue color, you know, blue complexion of the lotus. So the noun is lotus, whereas the adjective is blue. So adjective in Sanskrit is called visheshana, you know, and the noun is called visheya. Whereas the whole entire blue lotus, that is the complete, and that is the given as a visishta, unique. So here blue lotus is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So when you say just noun, just lotus, without describing its characteristics, then it's like Brahman. It's like describing the ultimate reality, the absolute truth, without his potencies, you know, then that is called Brahman. Just like you say when you are lotus now. But when you say lotus, it's a blue lotus, then you are describing some qualities of Brahman, and that is potencies of Bhagavan and the absolute truth, and that is the visheshana, you know. So here, in the next one, next PowerPoint. So, when you say blue lotus, that is a complete phrase. So when you say just lotus, that is Brahman. When you say blue lotus, that is the, you are moving forward, then giving the adjective to that. Then you are giving partial relation and complete relation. When you say just blue without saying lotus, then of course partial relation. So Bhagavan completes it. It says both blue lotus, both it says that. So next PowerPoint. So even though there is no real difference now between Brahman and Bhagavan, they are the same absolute truth, but looking at from a different angle of vision, that is limited by the seer perception, the one who perceives that, you know. So they are one in the same in all respects. The difference lies in the limitation of the vision of the seer. So Brahman is in Sanskrit called Visheya, you know, or that which is yet to be defined. That does not tell you what are its potencies, you know, and who is the possessor of this potency. So that is Brahman. The energy of the absolute is not mentioned right there. You know. So the energy that is given a quality of that is visheshana. Whereas Bhagavan, that's called visishta, the unique, correctly. And so absolute is perceived as inclusive of both the intrinsic power and the extrinsic power, both. Paramatma only extrinsic power. The external potency, Paramatma is that only, for the cosmic manifestation. But the internal Swarupa Shakti is only realized when a person is able to perceive his internal potency, and that is only devotional service. So obviously the seeker, the seer, has to be a devotee of the Supreme Lord. So that is a fundamental difference with Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So if one realizes Bhagavan, an understanding of Brahman is already there, just like when you say blue lotus, you already know that lotus is there. You don't have to separately say that. Just as one hold a lotus, two lotus automatically is a lotus, you know. And this is the reason why Srila Jiva Goswami, so one may ask, why did Jiva Goswami write Sandarbha on Brahman? There is no Brahman Sandarbha, you know. And because by describing Bhagavad Sandarbha, Bhagavan Sandarbha, automatically there is an understanding of Brahman is already there, you know, so they didn't write separately. But then another question that immediately comes to mind, that Paramatma is also part of Bhagavan, you know. And yet, Jiva Goswami did write Paramatma Sandarbha. Why is this so, you know? So that is because here, as I just explained to you, Paramatma Sandarbha, the Paramatma super soul aspect of it, is involved in this cosmic manifestation, and that includes living entities, you know. So all things is essential part. That is the reason Srila Jiva Goswami did write Paramatma Sandarbha also, for us to understand the supreme role of the super soul for the purpose of the cosmic manifestation. And when the living entities are actually placed in this material world, Paramatma actually enters along with the individual souls, right, in the material world. As you see that in the Paramatma manifestation, the absolute truth is understood as the source of creation who enters the individual atmas, jivatmas, and constituting his intermediate energy or tatastha shakti. So super soul is the one who catalyzes the formation of this five gross elements and also the internal senses. So without Paramatma, nothing can happen. So from Pradhan, Mahatattva, as we discussed earlier, and that takes place only when super soul enters it. Not just he introduces Jivatmas, the Lord Himself enters as Paramatma expansion. And in order to understand that, that's the reason why Jiva Goswami did write Paramatma Sandarbha, even the Paramatma is part of Bhagavan. And of course, Parasar Muni also defines Bhagavan, one who possesses the six kinds of opulences, full and unlimited moment. Next part. Now about the Lord's internal potency. Now, as I told you, Lord's internal potency, Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti, internal potency, Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti is the Maya. Whereas the Tatastha Shakti, intermediary Shakti is the living entities. So now, having just discussed about the external potency, where the super soul is involved, now let's talk about, and living entities are already part of that. Let's take Lord's internal potency, and that is Swarupa Shakti. And as I told you, that realization of that is only there, only in Bhagavan realization. That is only devotees can realize that, the Swarupa Shakti. And that again further divides in three aspects: internal Shakti, Swarupa Shakti, and that also we discuss it when we discuss Tattva Sandarbha. But here we are going to discuss in Bhagavad Sandarbha still much more deeper in that aspect. So internal Shakti is divided into this Swarupa Shakti, Sandini Shakti, Samavit Shakti, and Radini Shakti. And through this potencies, Bhagavan manifests his four different forms: Swamsha form, Swarupa, then his partial expansion, Vaibhava, and then also conscious entities with distinct individuality, Jivatmas, and then of course Prakriti, Pradhana. Mayashakti can never enter Bhagavan, as we saw it, you know, but Srila Vyasadeva's Samadhi, that Maya does not come in front of Krishna, you know, तदपाश्रय रिपीटेड द जीवात्मास. Last one, that if there is the one which describes the Swarupa Shakti repeated. So that the Antarang Shakti is further defined in the three aspects of it. The Satini Shakti, that is the existential or the eternality of that. And that is the Satini Shakti. Then there is Samavit Shakti. Samavit Shakti is the knowledge for Krishna, and he is all knower, and by his potency only he knows. So here it is. Sandini Shakti is the intrinsic power of existence of Bhagavan, and but through that power, Bhagavan upholds the existence of the individual Jivatmas and also the Prakriti. Samad Shakti, that is the cognizance or the power of knowledge of Bhagavan, by which he is all knowing and which enables all others to know him. In fact, that's what happens when a person comes to Bhava Bhakti level. That is where the Krishna's Samad Shakti, Swarup Shakti, that enters in his heart. And guides him all about Krishna. And then finally this Ladini potency, that is the bliss which bestows bliss to both Bhagavan, and Bhagavan himself feels the bliss by his devotees. So unlike the Jivatma, the form of Bhagavan is not different from his nature. And like the form of Bhagavan, we discussed this earlier also, all his ornaments, his dress, dhoti and so on like that, his abode, Vaikuntha Dhamma, full of Dhamma and so on like that. And we will see that even on in the earthly planet, these three planets, these three Dhammas actually replica of that, sits right here. One is Dwarka Dhamma. Then Golokanda Dhamma is in Vrindavan actually, you know, and also third one. So to his name is identical with him. There's no difference between his name and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So then Jiva concludes finally Sindarbha with the glorification of divine love and supreme bhakti. So that he's going to write a separate Sandarbha by itself, the Priti Sandarbha. So that gives you a very broad overview of top of this entire Bhagavad Sandarbha. So what I've done is I've divided into 7 thematic aspects of that describes everything about Bhagavad. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, but before we go, before we break the discussion, I want to briefly touch those feedbacks that I've received from many of you, 17 of you, and I'm very, very thankful to all of you, indebted to you, because that helps us to serve you better. Now I got a much better idea how I'm going to conduct this Bhagavad Sandarbha. In terms of the scope, the course that you're all happy, the way I conducted Bhagavad Sandarbha, 94% of it. In fact, there is a great person actually. Many of these things, scope, subject, and the way I do it, it's unanimously everyone will agree. Another thing like 95%, and only significant some of you that raised some concerns that I just communicated to my team by Sanjay Prabhu is about the audio transcript, the quality of the audio transcripts that
dad looks like is not really up to the standard. So we are going to take steps to improve on that. In fact, 80% of you have improved that, but about 20% of you, in other aspects, some up to about 30% of you, 30-33%, had a concern about that. That means there is something that needs to be improved. So I'm sure Sanjay will take that account. In fact, I'm here, I'm video transcripts also. Hopefully, we may be able to upload on this Eastbourne Desire Tree, and that has a really, really superior quality. The video transcript that I'm making here, and the sound quality, everything is really good. So hopefully, it might preserve better. And the other aspect that I just noted earlier, that now it looks like you may have a second thought about that. The first time when I mentioned myself, most of you did not seem to kind of appreciate the importance of having a self-assessment. I wanted to give you some quizzes. It's not like a drag. It's like a really joyfully to be performed. And quizzes are like two kinds of quizzes. One that is very straightforward, that tells you whether or not you attentively listen to the class or not. Just fact-based, pointing out the facts. For instance, I might ask you, how the absolute truth is actually manifest. Both three aspects. Of course, the answer is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So this is like straightforward, very straightforward. If you are attentively hearing that. But the other aspect of quiz that I have in my mind is to make you a little bit think on your feet, to connect the dots. So I provide you all the facts, many different facts, but how do you connect those different facts to a coherent manner? So that requires for you to a little bit think about it. So that kind of quiz is a little challenging, but it's fun to solve that. Again, all of this test quiz that you want me to give you, now you're expressing that significant of you, of 17, those who responded to this feedback that I sought after, you did express that you do want that, at least on the basis of self-assessment, that must not require it. So I give the quiz every week, and you solve it, those who want to do it, and then I provide the answer, so you self see that whether whatever you thought is right on that count or not. So we will not discuss in the class, but I will leave it up to you. That's exactly what you expressed in your feedback. So I'm very glad that you realize the importance of that. All right. So with that, now let's see if there are questions or comments. And I really encourage all of you, just like Tattva Sandarbha, please do ask questions. Because questions, when you ask, that tells me how much you understood, And it opens up for those who are, whatever reason, they don't ask questions, if they're shy or what, But when some of you who are asking questions, and I attempt to answer those, so simply hearing this discussion, the rest of the people also get inspired, and the discussion become much more livelier, class becomes much more livelier. So that's the reason I encourage very much. In fact, Ramakrishna Prabhu, almost every class, whether or not he is personally able to hear or not, he takes extra efforts to listen to audio transcript when he's unable to actually attend the classes, and he then sends me questions. Sometimes like a half a dozen questions to a dozen questions, and I derive immense pleasure, and I become inspired by him also, And then Kukunpriyapi Mataji puts those questions and answer on the website also for you to go through that, So that's a very good service Kukunpriyapi Mataji is doing, and Ramakrishna Prabhu is also rendering service in that regard, to inspire the class. So I encourage them. All right.
answer the questions. So if you are able to speak, you can speak, you know, or you can just write it in the chat window, you know. So here, Sanjay Krishna Prabhu is asking, the lotus Brahman, Rupa Paramatma, no, it's not like Rupa Paramatma, no. Is in a blue in the sense there's it's a visheshana, it's an adjective, but in only the partial aspect. Paramatma realization, you see only the external potency of the Lord, the source of expansion that you see there, but they don't perceive Krishna's internal potency. That's only Bhagavan Shri. So he is asking, lotus is Brahman, that's right. Does blue indicate Paramatma? Again, it's a partial. Bhagavan also, you can say that, you know, lotus is there. Lotus gives much more aspect of it. Alright? Who has a question now? Sorry. Oh, yeah. Apparently, I can see only partial here.
Prabhuji, the Sarat Mishra Prabhuji has one small question.
Unfortunately, I see only chat window only partially here. You know, can you speak up? What's the question? Can you read out?
Yes, I can read out.
Please.
He is asking, slide 11 states that Lakshmi Devi is the energy and the internal consort of Lord. But then what about Radharani, the consort at Dwarka and Golok Vrindavan and the Gopis?
Very good question. Actually, the consort, all others, Lakshmi Devi and all others, are actually expansion of Shrimati Radharani. Radharani is the main aspect from all the potencies, all other Ladinish Dev, they expand from there. They are expansion. Lakshmi Devi is an expansion of Shrimati Radharani. Very good question. Okay, now I see the Sarat's question here, right? Sanjay Krishna is asking again, is Chitta Shakti and Sharupa is same? Yes. Chitta Shakti is actually more about the cognizance or Samadhi Shakti like that. No? Alright. Any other questions? I'm scared. Yeah, if there's one question here, no.
Bachao.
Chaitanya Rajesh Mani. Makarand Prabhu, am I missing any other questions here? Yeah, Gokul Priya Mataji is here. Are the gyanis and yogis have chance to become Bhagavan realized? Do they not have devotion? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what a gyan is, right? Bahunam janmante gyanavan mam krapatyante. So after many, many lifetimes, they ultimately come and surrender to the Lord in devotional service. So ultimately, they do come to Bhakti platform also. That means Bhagavan realization. But it may take many, many lifetimes, you know. And sometimes they don't even, you know. And same is case of yogis. If they're goal, like Gyanis, if their goal is just to attain Brahman realization, that means they merge into Krishna Brahma Jyoti, you know, or Saivija Mukti, you know, and then they lose their individuality in that sense. But then they don't realize Bhagavan. But some they do after many, many lifetimes. By the mercy of the Lord's devotees, they come to the devotional platform. So the yogis are also like that. If their goal is to just see Paramatma in their heart, then they remain limited by that aspect of it. And again, some of them, they eventually come to the platform.
not necessarily always.
So they have devotion in the sense that that only through devotion they can come to Bhagavan realization. So their angle of vision is limited because of their goal actually. You know. Thank you, Mataji. Sharad Prabhu, when a jnani merged with the Lord, he has to come back to the material world again, isn't it? Yeah, sometimes it happens. Merging into Brahman realization doesn't necessarily, he may have sometimes, Prabhupada says that he even forced him back again to material world, you know. Okay, Chaitanya Rajeshwari Maharaj, Krishna is Vrindavan, is seen as a son, friend, and lover of gopis. Are we understanding about the form from their perspective? Again, whatever the form devotees desire, Krishna obliges Krishna. So, those who are, and that is the particular rasas or bhavas, they are in that. So, those who have vatsalya rasa, then Krishna appears. And about his coward friends, those who are Sakiras, you know, so they are his friends like that, and gopis, of course, that is in the conjugal rasa, Shringar rasa. So it depends upon the what rasas they are in there, and that's how Krishna appears that way. Okay, Rajesh Prabhu is asking question, but he says, himself says that this question is not related to today's discussion, how to find purpose of life. So I'll answer that in a few moments. Let me first answer others, okay, Rajesh Prabhu? But I'm very glad that you asked the question, and I'm really very happy that Rajesh Prabhu attended for the first time just yesterday's class. Yesterday's class was all about the speed reading. So today is his second time he's attending, and I'm very glad that he came back, you know.
Coming with
so I'll just answer the dear question just in a moment. Malati Priya, what exactly is Subhadra? What category does she come under? Of course, that is Krishna's eternal associate. Subhadra is the sister of Krishna. So in Golok Vrindavan Dham also says like that. So whatever the form they have there, so in Golok Vrindavan Dham, everything is there, all his associates, different rasas are also there, including even the animals and trees are also there actually, but they are all liberated souls, but they appear in that form for Krishna's pleasure actually. No? So they are all actually in one of the five rasas, one of the, maybe four rasas actually. The one of the Shanti Rasa, Antarasa, the neutrality is there.
But generally they are rasas.
Naveen Prabhu, at what stage in this sadhana bhakti process does one realize Brahman? Now sadhana bhakti, actually Prabhupada explains, is indeed a pure bhakti actually. But you are in training, you are not yet become pure bhakta. But by just following the practice, eventually you will become a pure devotee. It's like, you bought a ticket from New York to Mumbai. You already bought a ticket. Now you just have to board the plane, take the flight. So you will reach there, you know. But you are not there until you board the flight. You know. Same way here also. So sadhana bhakti is indeed part of pure bhakti.
Now I can play it, but no mention.
So when you realize Bhagavan, as we just said, when you realize Bhagavan, you already realize it's Brahman realization and Paramatma realization is already included within it. You know? So you don't need to make a separate effort there. Just like when you say blue lotus, lotus is already understood there. You know, you don't have to separately make an attempt to understand lotus. Tulsi Charan Prabhu, Jnanis consider merging the Brahman as the ultimate liberation, and devotees consider serving the lotus feet of Krishna as the topmost achievement. What is Yogi's concept of liberation? makes this the perform, you know, for that purpose. But those who really indeed their goals to realize Paramatma, they are indeed much higher platform than average yogis, you know, because they realize the partial realization of Bhagavan, and eventually they may come to even Bhagavan realization also, you know, those yogis. But most of the yogis, as I told you, they are just interested in this getting special achievements, special kind of, you know, smaller than the smallest, like that, that kind of thing, siddhis, you know. So they remain on material platform that way. Okay, Krishna Prabhu is asking, Radharani is higher than gopis, the gopis are higher in terms of Dwarka, and they are higher than Lakshmi Devi and so on. So is this hierarchy of their manifestation? Yes and no, and yes, in the sense they are all an expansion of Radharani, and they are there in serving the Lord in that specific particular role, actually, you know. That's the way I understand that. So hierarchy is there in that sense, just like you know, we see about this from ours, you know, the shantaras and neutrality. Then there is a you know, there's a servant relationship. Then there is satyarasa, then vatsalyarasa, and then finally the conjugal rasa, which is the highest. But that doesn't mean necessarily that if Krishna wants to enjoy this vatsalyarasa, so that way one should not consider you know, those who are vatsalyarasa, they are inferior in the sense, you know. Ultimately, through these different rasas, everyone is serving Krishna, and that is the sole purpose that's important. You want to serve the way the Krishna wants it, anukula yena Krishna, you know. So whatever the way Krishna desires, you serve him, you know. Just like I told you about Golok Vrindavan Dham, there are birds, animals, trees, they are all liberated soul, because the fact that they are in Golok Vrindavan Dham, they have all ultimate destination, and yet they remain in that particular form by the choice for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. You know. So Chaitanya Rajeshwari is in continuation of my previous question. So for Vrindavan people, Brahman, Bhagwan and Paramatma are not applicable. They are all in the Bhagwan realization. They are all seeing, especially the residents of Vrindavan. In fact, they are actually the directorates of the Lord straight from Goloka. So they are in a very, very highly elevated position, actually. They are eternally liberated souls, direct associated with the Lord. When we talk about understanding realization of the Absolute Truth in these three different aspects, it is really, in a way, is quite different when we talk about the Krishna's eternal associates, you know. They don't realize in the sense they are already there, by instinct, they are already there in that kind of relationship with Krishna. When you say Krishna, Krishna without his associate, eternal associates, Krishna is incomplete. Purna Krishna is always with his associates. Thank you very much, everyone. If you are there any more questions? Okay, let me answer now. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
Just a small hint. I remember during the Chaitanya Charitamrita Dhruva course, there was a discussion between the there was a discussion about Radharani and Lajivi. It has been discussed that okay, even Lakshmi Devi would aspire to see what place Radharani is getting in performing in Rasleela. So that makes a difference between the Vishishtachai Vishnu and the Krishna. You can recall that discussion. I think that answer lies that even Lakshmi Devi, the Vishnu understanding is not complete. The Krishna understanding is with the 64 opulences, and that is the full and complete. Nadini Shakti. If you recall that, then you, I think that will be addition to the discussion.
Thank you, Makarand Prabhu. What Makarand Prabhu is referring about is not going to discuss there actually. At some point, Lakshmi Devi wanted to take part in Krishna's Rasa Leela, but she was not qualified that actually because of her majesty and all these things. So that has to be given up, and that she was not. Now, Lakshmi Devi is a consort of Lord Vishnu. So what Bhagavad Gita is referring about the hierarchy about Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna. Now, one must also recognize there are other sampradayas like Sri Sampradaya and others. They worship is the Lakshmi Narayan Rupa actually. But in Srimad Bhagavatam explains very clearly Krishna is to Swayam Bhagavan. So Krishna is the original fountainhead of all the incarnation from all the expansion texts including Lord Vishnu. So Vishnu expansion is for the purpose of cosmic manifestation is three purusha, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, that's Mahavishnu, Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu and Shura Dakshaya Vishnu. So these three expansions is the sole purpose for the cosmic manifestation, and they are all occurring from, Krishna, then Balaram and so on like that. So Krishna is the fountainhead. When you say Swayam Krishna or Vrindavan Krishna, all other expansions are already within him, so that regard, Lord Vishnu is not in the same way complete as Krishna. So Makarand Prabhu also talking about the attributes, 64 attributes. Krishna has all the 64 attributes, whereas expansion, even Lord Narayana does not have. At the most, they have 60. So the four that Krishna has, like Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Lila Madhurya, and his Bhakta Vatsalya, that's his so special inclined towards his body, this only present in Sri Krishna himself, actually. So that regard, there's a difference between Vishnu and Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna. Otherwise, there is no distinct difference, as we saw that. All the expansions are exactly identical with Krishna. Prabhupada gives a nice analogy that from one single candle, you can light thousands of candles. And they all look exactly identical. And yet, there's a significance remains the original candle from which all other candles are derived. So in that regard, there's a difference there. So that's where the hierarchy is there. Sharad Prabhu is asking now, what is the status of the present residents of Vrindavan? They are there, their Vrindavan is because of their incredible fortune actually. So they have done something great, that is why they are in Vrindavan. In fact, they said Vrindavan, even the monkeys of Vrindavan are also very elevated souls. But because, in their past lives, they committed some kind of offense, so then they are in the monkey form, but nonetheless they are an elevated soul actually. Even though sometimes they don't appear to be devotee. I met one devotee when I was in Vrindavan first, some several years ago, some 10 years ago. And he was washing his chappal, his shoes in Radhakunda, So I was really taken aback because Radhakunda is very, very sacred, that's Srimati Radharani's Kunda, in the Nectar of Instruction is mentioned. It's a very, very high, role in that, So I was worried, I was kind of concerned. So then he said, no, I am the resident of Vrindavan, so I have every right to do that, for this does not apply to me. Now, of course, in a way he's right. When you reach a certain level, the rules and regulations apply to people like us, in order to come to that level, those who already achieved that level, they are free. At the same time, it seemed like a little bit stretch of that by that. Nonetheless, they are very, very elevated soul, but they come in that different, kind of thing because of some of that. But they, now we are talking about gopis and covered friends and all eternal residents went down.
they are directly associated, they directly sent with Krishna from Goloka Vrindavan Dham. So that you cannot compare with that actually, right? So the present residents of Vrindavan, in that regard, they have done some really, really elevated devotional service. That's the reason why they are residing, they get to reside in Goloka Vrindavan Dham. Remember I told you that in 1994, the qualities of bhakti, the items of bhakti, one of them is to reside in the Goloka, in Vrindavan, in the Dhamma of Krishna, where Krishna enacted his sweet pastimes. So that's a very, very high role. In fact, you know, that's recommended actually. But it is the spirit of Vrindavan spirit, that is what really more important than physically living in Vrindavan. Okay, so now let me answer the question that Rajesh Prabhu raised. That is somewhat different from today's topic. And he said, what is the purpose of life? Actually, it's a very, very important question actually. In fact, that was the one of the questions that even Sanatan Goswami asked of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually. You know? Purpose of life, what is the, why are we here? We are not here to enjoy materially. We are not here to make $1 million, you know, or whatever it is, you know, in this material world. That's not even purpose. Because everything, material pursuits, there's a beginning and end. It ends. So those who are really intelligent, they realize this fact after many, many births, actually, you know. Or coming in contact with Krishna's devotee, or coming in by accident or whatever sense, by Krishna's arrangement, you get to hear these kind of discourses, you know, and you learn about that. So ultimate purpose of in life is to really go back to spiritual world. In this place, this material world is not our natural place. It's like fish out of water actually, you know. Because this material world is designed to give us difficulties. Material world is meant, there are several purposes. One of the purposes to, when we have material desires, to enjoy independent of Krishna, then we are sent. So this material world is like a training ground actually, you know. So Krishna gives full facility to enjoy to the maximum extent that you want. And ultimately you realize that's all futile. There is no real happiness. Even the richest person in the world, billionaires, if you ask them, they are not completely happy. Even the kings and presidents, you know, they are not happy either. They get old. So birth, death, old age, diseases, they are not free from that. They get diseases. They become old. And ultimately, they also have to die, you know. So none of them is free. So these four defects of material life, material existence is always there. So that again ought to tell you that this is not my purpose to stay here. My purpose is to go back and serve the Lord actually. So even going back to spiritual world is also not an ultimate destination for a high class devotee, first class devotee. They want to serve Krishna. Wherever Krishna wants to send them, they are willing to go as long as Krishna allows them to serve in devotional service. So that ought to be the supreme goal actually. Krishna prema, love for Krishna. Whatever the way Krishna desires, I want to do that. And Krishna's happiness is my happiness. That is the ultimate purpose that we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. Alright, Rajesh Prabhu? So I'm very, very happy that you are beginning to relish this special bhava and so soon, just attending second class, you know. I'm very, very happy that, you know. So I pray to the Lord, you know, that Krishna really enters in your heart. Krishna is already there as super soul in your heart, but as super soul is guiding you material world, but when you come to devotional platform, then Swayam Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna enters in your heart, you know, and he guides you to actually how to go towards him, you know. That's why this verse in Bhagavad Gita is already there. In fact, one of the four seed verses of Bhagavad Gita, you know, Chatushtoki Bhagavad Gita. Desham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mama upriyanti te. So those who are constantly, always serves me with great loving devotional service, to them I assist, guide, instruction. Dami buddhi yogam tam. So I give the intelligence, guide.
their heart. So question might arise, Krishna is situated as super soul in everyone's heart. So what makes a devotee separate from that, you know? So that's the point comes here actually. Sandarbhas, this Krishna Sandarbhas, this six Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami that we are discussing, that tells us, teaches us, and of course Sandarbhas are actually the expansions of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it explains the central message, the essential message of Srimad Bhagavatam, that actually this Swayam Krishna enters as this Krishna Sarupa Shakti race class, and that we will expand on that further detail as we move forward. This Sandini Shakti, Samavit Shakti and Vladini Shakti, through that Krishna guides that soul, now no more in the material existence, but he guides them how to come and achieve his goal of Vrindavan Dhamma. So that is the supreme purpose, to the supreme goal of human form life is to develop love for Krishna. Whatever the way Krishna desires, that is my ultimate happiness, not what I desire. Then what is my own happiness? Then you are separate from Krishna. I want to be happy just because Krishna wants to be happy in my service. So that is the ultimate purpose, Rajesh Prabhu. So with that, I'm very happy, all of you, very, very, very good attendance. I'm so happy. This was our opening class for our module 2, and we'll keep it up. And this 45 of you now, you know, stays with us all the time, you know. All right. Thank you so much. So I'm here now. Let us, this time also up now. So it's time to conclude the class. So I'm